Hey guys, it's Fawcast time. We're recording this midday Friday. Doesn't happen very often. So it really is a Friday after work podcast this week. We're actually at the Cyclone Fanatic office today, not at the Charterhouse real estate office. I've had a bitch of a week, and I appreciate Mark's flexibility. Sick kids can do that sometimes. You just have to like change every like aspect of your schedule around. So thank you for that, Mark.
It reminds me of the Cheers. Norm from Cheers once said, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. You know, certain times, you know, the world's a black tuxedo and you're brown shoes, as they say. Sometimes it just doesn't go the way it should, and it sounds like you're having one of those weeks.
That's fine. No, like, nothing really bad has happened. It's just, it happened to be a week that I set, like, five different meetings.
Yeah.
And then all of those meetings, it seems like, have been disrupted because of a sick child. And the problem is, like, my wife doesn't really have a job where she can just take off real easily. Like, if people have scheduled their dogs to come in and have surgery specifically with her,
yep.
It's a lot harder for her to call in at 7:30 and say, I have a sick kid, I can't come in. Mm-hmm. And then you have to completely reschedule an entire hospital's day.
Yep.
So, like, I'm kind of the guy who just takes it. And that's fine. I actually enjoy staying home with Cammy when she's sick. It's a good bonding experience. But what a bitch.
Yeah, it's sick kids, man. I've had a kid with something for what seems like weeks. You know, none of them are really sick, but just, you know, I got a one-year-old with crappy diapers and runny noses and just, you know, stuff like that. But thankfully, as we look outside today, it's sunny. It's relatively warm.
Yeah.
This is one of my, I bet you wouldn't agree with this, although it's a busy time for you. This is one of my favorite times of the year.
Like when it's like starting to change to spring.
March, you get the basketball tournaments right around the corner, or in the Big Ten's case, started. You know, it's just the hint of spring is here. You know, the winter is almost behind us. Shamrock Shakes are back at McDonald's.
Are they really?
Yeah, of course, man. It's March.
Are you drinking those now because you were on the big diet?
Well, I'm still trying my best to do that, but I'm not like no sugar ever.
Are you still working out every day?
No, I have not been working out for a while. But I leave.
That didn't last.
I leave for Mexico. I don't even know when I leave for Mexico. I think early April. So basically every day from now till then, I'll be working out.
Just do one of those fasts with Corey over at Juice Company.
Well, you still got to do the workout, though, right? I mean,
you know, they always say if you could drop like 10 pounds of fat, that'll like look better than pumping a ton of iron.
Do you ever analyze? Well, I don't know if you've gone on a lot of group trips, but do you ever look at a group trip and think to yourself, who else is going on the group trip? And then you're like, okay, how do I look in comparison to them? And if you feel like you're kind of at the top of the chart, then I don't need to do that much.
Are you gonna wax your chest?
I do not wax my chest.
Do you nair it?
No, I did once. That was a mistake.
What happened?
Back in college.
What happened?
Have you ever naired anything?
No.
Nair is...
I shaved my chest before spring break in college, and that was a bad idea.
Nair is somehow illegal. I'm not sure why it is, but nair is essentially battery acid.
Really?
Yeah, that's what nair is, dude. Like, nair, you put nair on your chest, which I did in college, and you let it sit there. Don't remember how long, but 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was. And then you literally just take a rag or your hand and you just wipe your hand across your chest and all of the hair has dissolved off of your chest and just comes off on your hand. So it literally eats the hair. That's what this stuff does. In my case, it made it super welty and it was painful to do it. I don't know how anybody uses that product breaking out huge.
You wouldn't recommend putting it downstairs?
No way, dude.
If you know what I mean.
No way. No way. Yeah, before I go on a trip like that, though, I trim it down for sure.
Oh, you give it a little buzz cut, do you?
Yeah. Well, what sucks about getting older for me, you may have noticed, anyone that's seen me, I might have a gray hair or two.
I'm getting old. I feel you, bro.
So it used to be gray hairs were just kind of reserved for the head.
Oh, you're getting
But now you're
down
starting to get them
now.
Down to the chest and stuff. And I don't like
you
the
what,
look. So
you know what I had the other
day?
First time ever, gray nipple hair.
Ooh. Did you save it? Did you put it in a jar?
Pluck that thing, man.
Dude, it's just the beginning, man.
Get that crap
out of
here.
It's just the beginning. We're in Prairie Trail here recording this in Ankeny, and it reminds me, I did get my back waxed a few months back. Actually, it was probably last summer, closer to last summer.
You have back hair? Back hair problem? Or? Well, just a little bit.
I don't know if it's just like, I don't know if it's a problem.
Okay.
So I went and got removal done, which is six sessions where they it's laser removal. So they zap you, that kind of thing.
Oof, that sounds terrible.
And even after six sessions, it still isn't all gone.
How does that like? Why don't you just take a shaver to it instead?
Because then it gets stubbly and you can't reach very well, and you got to have your wife do it, and it's a pain in the butt.
How much does a laser removal cost?
Six sessions cost like $1,800.
Jesus, Mark.
Yeah.
You could have put that in an index fund.
Here's my question to you. What purpose does back hair serve?
There is no purpose.
Exactly. So why is it even back there? You know, it's like I spend some time up at the lake. I don't want to be wearing a sweater when I'm outside. I would rather, you know, trim it up. And now we can cue all the people on Twitter saying metrosexual, whatever they want to call me.
They call me whatever they want, man. We were talking about that earlier, yeah, about having thin skin and thick skin and how that changes as you get older. You've gotten thicker skin since you've done this.
Oh,
you used to get like really sensitive when people would criticize us, and now you're kind of like, ah, screw off.
Yeah, I don't even know if sensitive was the word. It was just
you.
I think what it is more is anybody that would go out of their way to say really crappy things about somebody.
Yeah.
I have a hard time understanding that mentality.
Yeah.
More so than, oh, I'm hurt that they don't like my take on politics. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, when they get personal.
Charter's a douche.
When you
like
get personal.
I've never met the guy. I never had a single conversation. So be it. You know, if that's your take, that's fine. But that's where like the whole Jay Burke thing came from. I don't know if he ever called me a douche, but I said, let's have a coffee.
Jay Burke still won't have the coffee.
Like he's ducking me, dude.
Yeah. Jay Burke's the internet tough guy. Just come on and blow up the podcast, and then you won't have a coffee with Charter. Yeah. I'm just kidding, Jay Burke.
What was the one this past week?
Love you, Jay Burke.
Somebody on Twitter. Wasn't it Jackie that said, somebody said they'd like to have introduced her roommate to the podcast.
Yeah, new listener.
And the only mention was that they'd love to have a beer with Chris. Nothing for me. I guess I'm
sure
second fiddle once again.
You'd probably be more entertaining.
I'd be more of an open book.
Yeah. Because, like, if I'm just with some, like, random college student who I don't know, I would probably be a little bit protective of, like, what I'm actually saying. Yeah. You would just be like, so, have you been on Tinder lately?
Yeah. Yeah.
You hooked up with any chicks lately?
See, even I have moments where I'm like, man, I got stuff I could talk about on this, but I still come off as reserved. Like where I kind of really let loose is my Vegas text group. There's nine other guys in there, and if you asked them this week how it was going, they would say I was disclosing some information that people on here would find fascinating. But I don't know if it's a good idea to do that. Let's just.
They don't like it. Like
put it that way.
That group has seemed to get more buttoned up over the years.
You think?
Because it used to be you'd come on here and just blow them all up, and now, like, you know, John's wife, like, hates me.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, because she got all upset because she didn't want to...
Ex-wife.
Oh.
Yeah, you knew that. You're acting like you didn't know he got divorced.
When did that happen?
A while back, dude. Maybe a year at this point. Yeah, she's remarried already. It's been a while. You're acting like you're genuinely shocked about this.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so.
I thought that, like, his new one hated me because I was asking about, like...
Oh, yeah. No, he's not married. John's not married.
Wow.
We'll probably get in trouble for talking about him. But yeah, no.
So now this girl's going to hate me even more.
Oh, no. John's with a very nice girl right now. I like her.
One of them hates me. Which one hates me?
Oh, probably her. Yeah.
Why does she hate me?
You said something you weren't supposed to, I think, but I don't even recall. We've said so much stuff on this thing over 3 years. I lose track, man.
Would you agree with me, back to the thin and thick skin conversation?
Yeah.
One of the great attributes, if we have a lot of young people listening, there's two things that I could pick apart about young people who I've worked with.
Yeah.
And like, Jared's my boy, and he's come so far in this. You got to have thick skin. You've got to have thick skin. Like, you can't just, like, take offense to any negative thing that anybody says about you, because there's a lot of crappy people in this world you're going to learn over the years.
Yeah.
And portraying yourself with, like, some confidence, you know?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, but we were talking about this before we started. Thick skin comes a little bit with age.
Correct.
Okay? Because you learn some life lessons, et cetera.
And we're old.
You and I are in similar fields in that – part of your job is going out and recruiting advertisers for what you do. And you're going to get some people that are like, no, you know, they don't get the mission. They think it's too expensive. They don't understand it, whatever. And they tell you no. Okay.
Correct.
You just have to say, okay, they said no. That's okay.
Move on. Go get it.
There's going to be someone that says yes. Just in my field, there's going to be some people, well, lots of people, thousands each year, that don't hire me or my firm and what we do. And it's always frustrating because we think we offer something that's a great deal and we're easy to work with. But you have to focus on the people that said yes. And if you shift your focus there, I heard a phrase once that I believe rejection is God's protection. It's one way to look at it, right? Every no is a good thing because that was going to lead you to something that would have been a waste of your time or whatever. So if
that's a good point.
Yeah. So if you look at no's as positives, it's going to help you. And it really, really, really makes you appreciative of the people that said yes. And you're going to focus your attention on them. But yeah, the thick skin, thin skin, that really comes down to understanding that you can't please all the people all the time. You know?
Absolutely.
But the reality is there's people listening right now that don't like me and they're still listening. So it's kind of like, all right.
No question.
That's fine. At least they got to like one of us, right? I think.
That or they like the combination and the banter.
That's possible too.
One of the two.
We still love you even if you hate us.
Hey, speaking of good conversations and whatnot, you and Schmat Schmamble really seemed to hit it off the other night. The recruiting party. I looked over there and
yeah.
I mean, you were erect. Couldn't quite tell if he was, but he seemed to really be enjoying the.
Did you say that I was erect?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay. You tell me.
It's Friday after work, baby.
You know the guy. Okay, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Because I don't know if this was a common thing or an uncommon thing. So I had, probably 10 minutes one-on-one with him. We're talking about a little bit about Ames. Told him I'm from there. A little bit about the process. Got to ask him some questions about the process. What we did learn, because we talked a lot about this on the show, is he was not familiar with Gary Vee. We've talked about that author quite a bit. So I wonder if I send a Gary Vee book up there, if they'll accept delivery on that. But I talked to Schmat Schmamble. For, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. We're in this conversation, whatever. And here's my question to you. He throws me out a practice invite.
Yeah, he gave you the old practice invite.
He's like, you need to come up to practice.
He was handing those out. My dad got one, too.
And I'm like, so is everyone getting the practice handout, or was that?
Did you ask him that?
No, I didn't ask him that. I'm asking you.
Well, he invited my dad to practice because my dad started hounding him about use of the tight end.
Oh, okay.
My dad tends to do that.
He wants Mike to chime in on tight end usage up at practice.
Yeah, well, dad's passionate about the tight end position.
Okay.
He's been known to harp at Iowa State coaches about this for dating back for damn near a decade now. Coach invited my dad. So I know that there were two practice invites handed out, but I cannot recall any more.
Okay. I just didn't,
I'll bring you up to a practice.
Matt probably talked to at least 50 guys that night. It's just no 50 invites went out, or if it was two.
I don't think that 50 invites went out.
Okay.
Because you were feeling very honored that he invited you to practice.
I think that after speaking with the man for a while, I think we'd get along. I think there's some similarities there. I really do. And I did tell him I appreciate his process, which I think he likes hearing.
What else did you guys talk about?
Taco time up in Ames. I told him to get a crisp meat burrito. That's the only thing you need to do it in Ames at Taco Time is get a crisp meat burrito. We name dropped Dr. Warmy on the team because my wife grew up family.
I love Dr. Warmy.
Family friends with him.
Dr. Warmy's the man.
So we name dropped. I did not ask him. I should have, but I did not ask him if the day that he was announced as our coach, if he actually got the gift that I left for him.
Oh, so what did you do that again?
So
because you were trying to beat out that other real estate agent.
Yeah, so the agent that Sharon May named was.
Well, so we know who she is.
We do. So she goes to the press conferences of the coach, right? So this is a real estate agent that goes to the press conferences of any new coach, well, the higher dollar ones, and as soon as they're done with their speech, goes up and says, hey, I'm going to be your real estate agent. That's essentially her approach.
Why don't you do that and like try and beat her?
It's not my style, dude. It's not my style.
Now that you got the flat rate, like it doesn't really even do that.
Yeah, but then it's buying anyway. So anyway, so they did that. So that day I said, you know what? I'm going to at least give the new coach a little bit of a gift. You know, so I went up there to the football center and I bought gifts for his children. It wasn't even for him. It was like video game stuff or whatever, and I left it with a nice girl at the football facility. I said, will you make sure Coach gets this today? And she said, absolutely. So she either sold those things on eBay or gave it to Coach, but I never figured out what happened with it. So,
well,
so Coach, if you're listening, man, I hope your kids got those.
I'll tell you this. And he did accept the podcast invite. Yeah. I told you I was not making it up. He is a listener to the show.
He
knew the podcast right away.
He said it'd be fun. Yeah.
When we go up there and do it, we'll have to ask him about the kid gifts.
Yeah, I'd be, yeah, not that he would. It's a pretty big day for him up there. Even if he did get the gifts, he may not remember getting the gifts. It's possible. But if he's at him and says, no, man, I never got the gifts, then I'm going to have to track down that receptionist.
You're going to do some investigation. She probably lives in, like, Delaware now and is, like, married and has kids of her own.
Yeah, I'm going to need those gifts back at this point. So, no, it was a good event, man. You guys put on a good party.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah. We haven't talked about it. Was the Tom Manning news just a couple days later a shock to you?
Yeah, but I guess when you do what I do, you kind of just, because Tom was one of my better friends on the staff.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, well, that's weird. He's not here and he didn't text me that he wasn't coming.
Yeah.
But Tom and I were supposed to do a podcast together, mm-hmm. where we were going to talk like offensive philosophy and stuff like that, like a few days before.
Yep.
And he postponed it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that happens all the time. I didn't think of anything.
Yeah.
Well, then he doesn't show up at the party and I don't hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm thinking, like, that's weird. I didn't want to do anything weird at the party. About Friday mid-morning, I started hearing stuff.
Yeah.
And Friday night, it was imminent. And I started really trying to break the story. Couldn't get anybody to go on the record.
Yeah.
And then Saturday morning, I got Campbell to go on the record.
Yeah.
So, like, it was kind of a slow burn.
Yeah.
But overall, yes, it shocked me. Just because of the timing, that's a really weird time.
That was one of those, and I don't recall, and in reality to me, it doesn't matter, but you're working on the story. Was Tommy the one that actually broke it?
I think I got Tommy on this one.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know for a fact. I don't really keep score on things like that, but I think I'm the one who got that
Did
one.
You ever, so did you ever hear from Coach Manning?
Yeah, I did. I talked to him on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume, well, I don't know anything about the pay, which is more, et cetera, but that's just a different world, being in the NFL, obviously.
I actually think that he is going to take a pay cut.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, it's a deal where it really seems like he wants to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's a deal where he knows that he has a really good opportunity there. It's, you know, Indy is fairly close to where he's from. Frank Reich is a really good offensive coach.
Yep.
And I think a deal like with that, if you know you want to be in the NFL, well, if you can get there and you got a situation where you know you're going to have 3 years before you can get fired,
mm-hmm.
because it's a new coaching staff, and hopefully things go well and you could work your way up the ladder there, become an offensive line coach, potentially become an offensive coordinator. If you want to be in the NFL, be in the NFL if you have the opportunity. I think that's how Tom looked at it. And the cool thing about Matt's a really good, like, manager. It's one thing I'm starting to pick up on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so, like, he knows that it makes him look good to other potential guys to come on his coaching staff if he's helping these guys get jobs that they want
elsewhere.
And he's used that example with Lou Iene wanting to get back to Northwestern too, because that's his alma mater.
Yep, yep. Where do you think, I know we're in basketball season, but where do you think they go from here?
I think that's a good question. I think he'll hire somebody from outside. Having said that, I think it'll be somebody who is very close to that Campbell inner circle. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's not going to go out and hire a Mark Mangino, like, where we're like, oh, yeah. It'll be a guy like the current guy at Toledo, you know, somebody who he's worked with in the past, or it'll be Gasser or Golish from the current staff where he moves them up. Like, it's not going to be anything sexy.
Well, there's no way to, based on what we've just seen with the offensive progression, with Kemp coming back, with Mike Montgomery, et cetera, that they're going to do anything to drastically change things. I mean, philosophy-wise, it's going to be the same.
I, you know, I I know Matt pretty well. And reading between the lines of our conversation on Saturday, that I didn't have a recorder going or anything. I was just more wanting to get a feel for the situation.
Yeah.
Matt usually looks at it the way really good CEOs look at something. Despite how much respect you have for somebody, and I know Matt and Tom did, they're very close. Like, he's probably looking at this saying, like, okay, how can we get better now?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, this sucks, but what do you do? The guy left, so now we have to move forward. How do we make our offensive coaching staff better than it was? Like, do we move some people around? How do we do this?
And the reality is, in any business, yours, mine, theirs, employees come and go.
They do. It's part of the gig.
So you've got a core mission. You stick to the core mission. Certainly some things change, but not everything has to change. So, you know, a little bit of a surprise when I read that, but not – I don't think Iowa State fans should be alarmed by it or worried that suddenly we're going to be worse than we would have. I don't think we will.
No, I don't think that either.
What I learned most from Campbell the other night when I was around him is you can be around people and it's just a feeling that you get. And my feeling was this guy clearly knows his stuff and knows what he's doing. I mean,
you've got that loving feeling.
As the Righteous Brothers would say, yeah.
They said lost, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think he's the right guy. Do I think he's going to be our coach 5 years? I still don't. But it'd be awesome if he was. He did not use the words firmly entrenched with me when I met him.
Did you prod him about the new contract?
I did not. I did not ask him what he bought with his first big paycheck. I did not ask any of those things. These are more forecast appropriate questions when we actually get
them. We do have to ask that question. You get the big raise. What did you buy?
Like, I just want to know what does it look like when you go to the ATM and look at the receipt, you know, stuff like that. Those are the fun things, you know. Not that all his money would be on the ATM receipt. It shouldn't be if he's using his checking account and being smart about it.
I could only imagine like the feeling of that, where you go to like get $50 because you're gonna go out and you don't want to use a card all night.
Yeah,
and it says you've got like $50,000 just sitting there in your checking account.
Do you ever remember hearing that story?
Or more, yeah. In his case?
Do you remember a few years ago, I think it was verified as true, that someone in the Hamptons found an ATM receipt, and I think it had, I'm going off of memory only, this is easy to Google this, but $99 million in the account balance.
It seems like a really bad idea to keep that much money in checking.
It's what a lot of people said. That doesn't make any sense. But apparently, you know, it's the Hamptons. There's a lot of people that would have that type of money up there.
It's easy. The reason that it's bad is checking accounts are easier to hack into.
Yeah,
credit cards are the hard.
Only insured. I mean, maybe it's a special type of bank where the rules are different. I don't know. Yeah, but
I don't know.
That would be you'd be tempted just to go to the ATM just to get a receipt, just to look.
Did you see the Jay-Z tab the other night? This went viral.
No.
Jay-Z, somehow, like, one of his receipts at, like, a restaurant surfaced onto Twitter. It was one of those deals where, like, the waitress took a picture of it or something.
I like how you always say the Twitter. You sound old when you say that.
Yeah, sorry.
It sounds like something Mike would say.
I've been hanging around. Mike's coming up this weekend.
I saw you on the Twitter.
Mike's coming up this weekend if you want to hang out with him.
You should come by the house. You say I never invite you. I just did. There you go.
I've got the big St. Baldrick's deal.
Oh, is that
the big one. We're doing two per year now.
And
the prelim one is
how tomorrow. Can you going to shave your head twice?
No. This is like basically we're all at Reclaimed Rails, and they're giving a proceeds to St. Baldrick's.
Got it.
So it just gives everybody an excuse to get drunk, and then raising money for the charity as well.
Nice.
But anyways, Jay-Z, he spent like $91,000 at like this –
I don't even imagine.
I don't even know if I want to call it a meal. It was more like he just got a bunch of bottles of like Hennessy or whatever he used to drink. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine?
They were like $10,000 bottles. Like, it was just insane.
How wealthy do you need to be to spend $91,000 on a night out?
Hold on. I'm going to pull Jay-Z.
And it was confirmed.
Was
the tip on there too? I'm always curious about the tip. How much was left?
Let's find out here. Okay, so I'm on BET.com. Hove's receipt proves that all of his 99 problems, a $91,000 check clearly isn't one. So he bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bottles of Ace of Spades Gold, which is a bottle of alcohol, I'm assuming.
Okay.
This is just a bar tab. He didn't even eat.
Yeah.
He bought 20 bottles of Ace of Spades Rose. Okay, so the gold, it was $1,200 a bottle.
Yeah.
There's just six people who drank this, by the way.
Okay.
The 20 bottles of Ace of Spades Rose totaled $50,000. And then he bought 15 Ace of Spades Gold, which were $18,000.
Yeah.
What is Ace of Spades?
I have no idea.
It's champagne.
This is the time to cue the...
Oh, and Jay-Z apparently owns part of this.
Think how many homeless people you could have helped with that amount of money.
If you go to wine.com, you can buy a bottle of Ace of Spades champagne. I don't know which. It's for $300. If you go to the Fine Wine House, you can buy a special edition for almost $7,000.
Ooh, nice.
Sweet, sassy molassy.
I've got a live shout-out to give here.
Hold on. We got one more. And you ain't even going to believe this. You can buy a bottle of Ace of Spades champagne, and it's in a pendant, like gold and diamond covered bottle.
That makes it taste better. Everybody knows that.
You can buy this at walmart.com.
Yeah.
For $630.
Wow.
So you're saying, how the hell is that at Walmart?
So you're saying $1,200 was a bit of a markup at the bar. a little bit.
Hove. What do we have to give a shout-out to?
I'm giving a shout-out to Ben. I won't say his last name.
Who's Ben? What's Ben's deal?
Well, my assistant just texted me while we're here. And
KK?
Said, she said, Fawcast listener, doesn't live here but loves your model and has questions on if anyone in his area does it, wants you to give him a call back. So she sent me a sticky note with his name and number on it. So
give me the deal.
Ben. Hey, Ben. I'll give you a call, man. Thanks for listening.
Let's do this as a promo thing because I think that this makes sense.
Yeah.
You recently got the listing of, like, a really expensive house.
I did.
Explain why, like, a really rich person should go with you.
Because they save a crap load of money.
Explain this to me, because I think it paints your model in a very positive light.
Yeah, so, well, simple math. I'll tell you what this person's listing their house for. So
my wife wants that house, by the way.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And I told her we can't afford it.
So if this person, so I just listed a house for $1.4 million for anybody that says, that's ridiculous. It's a great house. It's on 12 acres in Ankeny, just outside of Ankeny. So it's worth the money. If this person hired a 6% agent, which is normal for this area, et cetera, at that price, they would pay $84,000 in commission.
That's insane.
$84,000. Our model is, I'm doing the math, so hold on here. Our model is $44,495. Okay, so that's a savings of $40,000. Quick math. Now people say, what's the catch? Well, you don't get as much, etc. Nope. This guy's still on the MLS. He's still got great social media marketing that still people are sharing the crap out of this thing. Great photos. We did an aerial drone video for him. 3D virtual tour, professional photography. All of this stuff. And I know because I've been doing this for 13 years, when you compare his $1 million listing to several others that are on the MLS, they don't get as much and they're paying a heck of a lot more. So one thing people say too is, so if I sell this house, the seller model works. So the house sells, right? But another agent represents the buyer. How much money do I make on a house that's listed for $1.4 million? I make $2,500. Okay, that's it. $2,500. People say, why would you do that, et cetera? Well, it's because this is about an end game. It's not about this one transaction. Without the model, the guy never calls, right? So I don't get to meet him. I don't get to potentially help him buy a house. I don't get to look good from a marketing perspective that might lead to other listings and other buyers. That's why our model works, because it allows us to get many more opportunities to meet people, to market well, et cetera. So, you know, is $2,500 a lot? Well, it is to some people. It's not to others. But in the scheme of $84,000, is $2,500 a lot? No, it's not. But the thing for people to understand about our model is it is much cheaper, especially on a case like a $1.4 million house. But it's also still really good marketing. He's still on the MLS. He still gets an agent. He still gets full service. There's a misconception out there that when you list with a company like ours that I'll call a flat fee, that you miss out, that you don't get some really important things. And the truth is that isn't the case at all. So what I'm trying to do is simply get the word out about the truth about our model. It's a really good model, and it's really good marketing. It's just less expensive. And people think you get what you pay for, et cetera. And some of those cliches are true and some aren't. I can tell you for sure that this person is not feeling bad about the marketing that they have gotten so far. We got our second showing going on today, basically right now. And hopefully it sells for him. And if he saves $40,000, he saved a real $40,000, and he'll like us and probably tell people good things about us. So, yeah, if you're out there and want to buy a $1.4 million house, by all means do it. So, and the other thing too, is I think I've said this before on the show, the number one selling agent last year out of roughly 2,500 agents in the Des Moines area, that's called the Des Moines MLS, 2,500 agents-ish number-wise. The number one agent was the guy that I essentially partnered with at the beginning of this year, Cy Phillips. And Cy did about $55 million in sales last year, and he did it under this exact same model. So people that say the model doesn't work or there's a catch, there isn't. You know, you don't need more proof than the top selling agent last year used this exact same model that we're using. So basically it comes down to this simple equation. Whether you have a friend that does real estate or it's your dad or whatever, if you compare an average commission, which is 6%, maybe 7 in some instances still, versus ours, it's do you want to pay more to get what you need to get to sell your house? People say, well, you know, they might advertise here or whatever. It isn't. Cy did it this way last year. We're doing well with it this way as well. So really it's just about, you know, people like you that's a friend of mine spreading the word about what Charter does is legit. It's just less money. And I don't know many people that want to spend a lot more money to get the result that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They want to typically pay as little as they can. Our model allows you to do that. So I pitch it because I believe in it. I switch to the model because I believe in it. And I would not feel good going into this guy and saying, your bill is going to be $84,000. That when you say that out loud, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's really, really stupid to pay that much, frankly, to sell your house. So good news is if you hire us, you don't have to. And obviously most of our people don't have $1.4 million houses. They have a $200,000 house. But the difference on that is $12,000 versus $84,95. So you're still saving a good amount of money, even if you have a $200,000 mm-hmm. house. So the math still works, even at a much lower property. So if you're interested, after all that, charterhouseiowa.com. Check us out. Be happy to meet with you.
I think that's a good way to end the podcast.
Was that my commercial for the week?
Sure. Whatever you want, man. What are you doing this weekend?
You know what we might be doing? Might be doing a little Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, don't. Last time I went there, I put my hand in poop.
I have to because of poop. My daughter's had a great week of going poo-poo in the toilet where it belongs instead of a pull-up or her underwear. So that for those of you that don't have kids, these are the things you have to look forward to. So we said if you do it like 5 times, 6 times in the toilet, you get to go give Chucky a high five because she really likes Chucky.
Every time Cammy goes in the toilet, she goes, it's a big one.
Yeah, always. Always. Well, yeah, at that age, they probably all look really big. So we're doing that. And then next week I know that next week is probably going to look a little weird. You got work to do down in Kansas City, but you very well might only have one game to cover versus four.
Yeah.
So
we'll figure it out.
Let's not rule out some type of a meetup for Fockers if you're down there, but we certainly don't know what's happening yet.
And I'm going up to Sioux Falls on Monday. I'm going to the Summit League tournament.
Yeah.
To watch Otzelberger.
Yep.
And then I'm going down to Kansas. Yeah. So you and I will just touch base on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the best.
Almost every other year we've tried to do this has been hectic because you always have a game to get to.
Yeah.
So you're rushed and whatever. And no, I don't want Iowa State to lose on Wednesday night. But if they do, the week looks a little bit different after that. So maybe we could do something.
Yeah, and I do wonder how many people will be in Kansas City. I know we'll have a good crowd, but I don't think it'll be like recent years. This might be a year where people decide to save some money. And
I bought I don't know if I said this. I don't think I did since last time. I bought 13 tickets in the lower level for family and friends to all be in the same row. After fees and all that, I paid $22 a seat, which is for Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament over the past few years, is unheard of.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to the Big 12 and you've never been before, this is a good year to do it if you want to watch Iowa State.
Yeah.
Tickets were as low as $6 on StubHub for Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night they just basically give those things away.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you've ever wanted to go and just watch State, do it this year. Go down and do it on Wednesday night.
Yeah. All right, bud.
All right. Maybe we'll see you in Kansas City.
Yeah, we'll just keep an eye on the Twitter feeds and all that stuff, and we'll keep you guys
and impressed. Take your kids to Fitz's. Dude, they don't pay me to say that.
Seriously, watch your hands at Chuck E. Cheese.
Was this like in the ball pit or like where were you sticking your hand in poop?
Just up by the stage where those creepy ass
animatronic characters go.
And I was like sitting at a table,
yeah,
and there was poop.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
That's what happens, dude. A lot of kids run around with poop in their pants at that place. It's just part of the fun, part of the magic.
That place is disgusting. The pizza sucks. Everything is gross.
They got to make a mint, though, man. When you go there and it's busy, kids are running around like crazy. They're making, man, that pizza is terrible. Their food is god-awful.
They're wasting all that money on, like, the arcades.
You do not go there for good quality food at all.
Just trash.
Yeah, it's really bad, dude. Really bad.
And but you may or may not stick your hand in poop.
Kids don't care. Well, I'm going to try to avoid the poop, but Hollis deserves a good timeout for depositing those turds where they belong.
Good for Hollis. I question like the reward.
All right. I'll let you know if I get pooped up.
I don't know why like the Chuck E. Cheese is the thing. Like, why don't you take her to, I don't know, like somewhere else?
We can't always decide why we like what we like. It's just, you know, that's her thing right now, man. If I could have bribed her with something else, I would have certainly done that. But she likes Chuck E. Cheese. So, you know, what Hollis wants, Hollis gets. You know the rules.
This is true. All right, later, guys.